Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
We have an update on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Is that why this music is playing?
Hugwatch 2025. Hugwatch started yesterday, as you recall.
The music is diabolical. I'm sorry. I can't get over it.
With some moments where we were all watching to see if there were trades happening real time in Major League Baseball.
How'd that work out for us?
Only to find out that, indeed, Hugwatch was just us watching hugs. But there have been a couple of updates. I turn to our intrepid reporters. Marshall Harris, we have this information. Number one. We have reports saying that the White Sox are trading Austin Slater to the Yankees. My immediate question is, why do you guys value him, but the White Sox didn't really? What's in exchange? And I say that knowing what happened with Andrew Vaughn yesterday.
We call it the Andrew Vaughn effect, in fact. Hey, that guy looks like he's much better now that he's not playing for the White Sox. Let's see if we can get one of those guys to maybe come over here and be much better now that they're not playing for the White Sox.
Here's an interesting nugget because, you know, as the Yankees have struggled, it tends to remind me of other teams that were built to contend and perhaps have any issues with, say, splits and such. Our friend James Fox reminds us that Austin Slater has a 137 weighted runs created plus against left-handed pitchers. Wow, that music ended at the right time.
Yeah.
Did we plan that?
Things get serious sometimes.
You know who else has trouble hitting lefties lately?
Who's that?
The team that gave up a grand slam yesterday. Okay, so let's also continue with this.
There's more? And it's back.
So now we know that the White Sox also have a different starting pitcher today other than Adrian Hauser.
Oh, who's that?
Tyler Alexander will start today for the White Sox against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Is that maybe less of a challenge for the Phillies as they go for a series win against the White Sox? I was really hoping the White Sox would let Hauser pitch so they could get the series win against the Phillies as a last trade deadline. Hurrah!
And yeah, I understand that while there might be no clear move in this, were there hugs in the clubhouse? Does Adrian Hauser know he's going somewhere?
Yes. The answer is yes. Does he know where he's going? Probably not. But he knows he's going somewhere.
And additionally, if another team values a White Sox, and it might be more than the White Sox value a White Sox, and I think what they did with Andrew Vaughn made a lot of sense, but change of scenery is good for people, then you might want to be asking yourself, was that person developed enough when they were there? Adrian Hauser, I say yes. Andrew Vaughn, resounding no.
I just want to know the odds Adrian Hauser going to the Cubs, because that's a guy on my list.
And that's where we go with this, Marshall, is I think one of the big pieces is when we watched the game last night and we saw that horrible Cubs 9-3 loss where the Cubs did manage 9 hits, but unfortunately, yet again, you know, here we are talking about some of the same issues we've seen with the offense at times before, where the runners in scoring position numbers 1-for-12, where we're trying to figure out how precipitous the fall is going to be, where we talk about the regression in hitters that we've needed to be good, knowing that that's common. But when your leadoff batter, Michael Busch, goes 0-for-3, you have Kyle Tucker with an 0-for-2 game, even though he walked twice. I'm happy to see that for sure, given that he has had a poor month of July when it comes to extra base hitting specifically, which is what I need that guy to do. Seiya Suzuki, of course, a part of that discussion as well, 1-for-4. Matt Shaw was the guy providing some pop, and so was Nico Horner. You know, those are not your typical individuals when you think of offensive production, and that's why I say this. I'm watching that game last night. I'm watching it at 9-3, and the crowd is going wild in Milwaukee, thinking the Cubs are in a position where now it is so stark that they might have played themselves into a corner where you might have to set the market because your need might be more dire than a lot of other teams when it comes to trying to make sure you either win the division or make the playoffs in a really competitive National League.
I think looking at what happened yesterday, it is natural to be like, what is going on? You've lost 2 in a row and are now 2 games back of the division lead to the Brewers. But I think we have to remember a couple of things here. One, the Brewers have been playing the best baseball in the majors since June 1st, 18 games over 500 in that span. Another thing you have to remember is the Cubs are slumping woefully and not playing to the backs of their baseball cards. The guys who are supposed to star, not exactly starring. Matt Shaw is playing better than anybody else from a hitting standpoint in the Cubs offense, with Nico Horner a close second since the All-Star break. Matt Shaw, since the All-Star break, batting .371, slugging .800, which is outrageous because he's got four home runs and three doubles. Meanwhile, the guys you thought were going to be leading the offense, you can look at Kyle Tucker, you can look at Dansby Swanson, Seiya Suzuki. These guys have not come to play since the All-Star break. Since the All-Star break, OPS, on-base plus slugging, Dansby Swanson, .497. Seiya Suzuki, .483. Kyle Tucker, .742. But I want to remind you that .742, while it's not bad, he's only hitting .194. It's the .419 on-base percentage, a.k.a. all the walks, 12 of them since the All-Star break, which is sustaining that OPS. He's only slugging .323. That's not good enough. Ian Happ, batting .216, .432 slug. Better, but still not good enough. And so you look at what's happening and who's coming up short, and you're wondering, do they need an infusion right now? And the easy answer is to say, they better go out and get Eugenio Suarez. That is the easy answer. I do not disagree with that answer. I said on this program on Monday, go get Suarez, as long as you don't overpay for him, go get him. And then maybe Craig Counsell, the genius that I've been told he is as a manager, can figure out how to put all the chess pieces in play. That's only now amplified by this news that Marquee reported that Ian Happ is indeed heading to the injured list, because now you have a place for him to play immediately at the DH spot.
And we're getting you ready for Cubs baseball on the Score. That's at 12:30. So we should know more about Ian Happ's reported injured list stint. But you say overpay. They gave up Cam Smith, who's playing in the big leagues. They gave up Isak Paredes, who is an all-star. They gave up Hayden Wisniewski to get Kyle Tucker, who apparently, if he's not hitting, there's a big hole in the rest of the offense. I hate the fact that, for some reason, I feel like Seiya Suzuki's success is tied to Kyle Tucker's when it comes to what we saw out of his growth this past season, and then also what's happening this month, where Tucker only has, by the way, two doubles and one home run the entire month. And by the way, it's July 30th. I say that knowing that, is that overpaying? Did you overpay for a guy who that's the production level this month as they get ready to try to figure out who they are before the trade deadline? Like, the issue is, yeah, we know that they're successful hitters. Kyle Tucker is not necessarily who I'm worried about here. The illustration is you had a team play .500 baseball in June. You have a team that has shown you that they are susceptible to the challenge of the Brewers already. And therefore, how are other people picking up when others are not? Thrilled to see Matt Shaw doing well. But there are still major hitters on this team and people carrying a lot of responsibility, and whether or not they like it, who the Cubs have paid a hefty price for financially or when it comes to individuals that they gave up, who they need to be good right now, who aren't. And that just, to me, illustrates you need more. You don't need to necessarily overly depend on people who go through real slumps because that's their hitting profile. It means that your roster needs to be better overall.
I agree the roster needs to be better overall. But I think the issue here is that you have a bunch of people slumping at once. And I don't expect that to continue. I think the idea that Michael Bush, Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki, Dansby Swanson, and Ian Happ, when healthy, are all going to slump at the same time, that's rubbish. I don't expect that to continue. I'm not saying don't go out there and upgrade your offense, because I am saying do that if you can. Go upgrade your offense. I'm saying my biggest concern heading into the trade deadline a month ago, 2 months ago, is still my biggest concern heading into the trade deadline, and that is getting top-end starting pitcher and getting help with swing and miss stuff from both your starters and your relievers. That is where the problem lies with this team. Go back through the last five starts the Cubs have made, and that includes the guys who have been headlining this rotation in Shota Imanaga and Matthew Boyd. They have not been up to snuff through the last turn. Now, we'll see if that stops today with Imanaga in the mound and against Freddy Peralta. You would think it would have to be, or it will be, their first three-game sweep of the year. My issue is, go get the pitchers. I said get two. I said get one of them at least as good as Shota Imanaga and Matthew Boyd. That stands. I will reserve judgment on this team and whether or not I think they can be World Series contenders until 5 p.m. on Thursday, because that's when all the moves that can be made will be made. This isn't even old school baseball where you can make trades after the deadline depending on getting guys through the wire. That doesn't happen anymore. Whatever you're going to do, you better do it between now and Thursday at 5 p.m.
I think all that is great, except for here's my issue is, you know what you don't have? You don't have a Thursday at 5 p.m. we'll see when you're in the playoffs. When Matthew Boyd and Jody Minaga give up the amount of runs they've given up in their last two starts, for example, and when Andrew Vaughn is mashing a grand slam that just sends everybody through the roof in Milwaukee, when your relievers are not up to snuff and you had to, by the way, DFA somebody who you very much depended on in Chris Flexen.
RIP.
Thursday at 5 o'clock doesn't exist in the playoffs.
KenPom Flex, RIP.
Wait and see doesn't exist in the playoffs. And you've got a really good series, not to mention what happened against the Royals, where they got so much confident they extended Seth Lugo.
The Royals are smart. They play in the AL Central. Any given year, you can come back.
What do those two teams have in common, the Royals and the Brewers? They've both won two of three from your team, and they both think that they're contending too. You don't have a Thursday at 5 o'clock when you're already down in the playoffs and you've got a small margin.
Well, you say down in the playoffs. The playoffs start today. They would be in the playoffs. The goal is to make the playoffs.
My point is if you're looking at the series and you see what's happened here, there are questions that we need answered. And there are examples that have been given as to how to fix it.
I think that the whole point is Thursday, 5 p.m., I hope you have addressed your problems, because if you haven't, I don't care that you got a fresh, brand new extension. Jed, you got to get the job done. This is all or bust. Kyle Tucker is not guaranteed to be here past this season.
We do have some, and that's why I say, like, you probably played yourself into a corner, because you do now have to pay for that price you paid, knowing that this season was it for you, and knowing that you can get a batter who can change your team, but he's going to be pricey. We have that music because we do have some actual breaking news. Breaking News on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. There is a roster move that has been made on the Cubs.
It has nothing to do with the injured list either.
This is according to Zach Zaidman. Moises Ballesteros has been recalled from Iowa. Cubs have designated Vidal Brujan for assignment. So to the caller this morning on Mully and Ah, who asked why Vidal Brujan is still on the team, apparently the front office did too. You have your answer.
I love this.
I hate
Is that a slow clap from behind the glass?
You guys know how I feel about Vidal Brujan. I don't wish career badness on anyone, but he was bad.
But here's the thing, though, is similar to how we opened this segment talking about, say, the Yankees wanting Austin Slater, and you look at the numbers against lefties, your bench has got to be better. Like, that was a bench upgrade for the Yankees. Cash considerations in exchange? Do we know yet? Do we have a term on that reported deal yet? I'm sure we will get one before the show ends here at 12:30, but
this is not the time to bring up...
At least there are some deals being made.
This is not the time to bring up that Vidal Brujan was hitting .429 since the All-Star break. This is not the time to do that, right? I'm joking. It was 7 at-bats. I'm joking.
Do you want to, like, are you going to hold up the boombox outside of the office building at Addison and Sheffield and be like, hey, well, technically that's Clark, isn't it, right there? They're on the corner of Clark.
Robbie Triana told me 3 days ago that Vidal Brujan could not be on a World Series contender. And I said, I don't disagree with you. And now... we know that that will not hold the Cubs back from being
a World
Series contender.
It's hard when you are not the best base runner on the bench, not a good defender, and can barely hit. And it's hard to be good.
And quickly from James Fegan, he says, can confirm the report from Jeff Passan that the White Sox have traded Austin Slater to the Yankees for pitching prospect Gage Zeal. So we have another Gage.
Another Gage in the system. I love it.
I also love it.
Gage
also,
curly fry.
Given how we start, Gage curly fry, everybody gets a potato-related nickname. I don't make the rules. Who's going to be double baked? That's the only question I have. Also, since our show started this way, can I tell you guys about something funny that's happening on our text line?
What's going on?
So somebody's given a real estate company like our number, the Score text line number. So we keep getting questions. Hello again. We want to give you a reliable resource to look for homes. Download our free home search app here. I believe it's Keller Williams. You can search homes at your leisure. Who did this? Who gave that poor realtor the Score text line? Don't get any ideas. We can block those, along with mean people. I just want to let you know. We have some reports coming up next from Hallis Hall. Caleb Williams is speaking. He's addressing the media. And I think, advanced in our discussion about Luther Burden. So let's do that as well. And we got some people calling in. What do they want to talk about, Ray?
We'll find out.
I guess we will.
It's happening live radio, baby.
I didn't know if you would talk to them or not already, but I saw the phone lines light up and I figured I would ask. All right,
we'll find out.
We'll collect ourselves and get some football notes next here on The Score.